gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of For Geek's Sake. But no, this is not the CBS After School Special, very special episode kind. we just get to just do Ninja Turtles. That's the main topic, and we don't. There's no Ninja Turtles movie. There's no reason to, other than the fact that we have in the studio today, Travis.
Yep, I'm here.
Who has been? I'm gonna say like. Probably one of the definitely one of the most important people in keeping For Geek's Sake running. The Facebook page, all of the original content on our Facebook page is basically Travis. A lot of the not original content is also Travis. He's done tons for us, and so he's like, I really want to do a Ninja Turtles episode. And even if he hadn't been super helpful, I'd still be like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
So
it was a slow news week.
We got we actually got a break, so absolutely let's do it. So but fear not, Ninja Turtle fans. We're not just gonna cover the basics. I mean, I like Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
I would usually say that I love Ninja Turtles, but compared to Travis,
oh well, yeah,
I feel like such a poser, you know. And I'm a guy who watched all of the original series and had most of the toys, and I still just. We've got some really obscure, random, awesome Ninja Turtle facts that we're going to be covering during the main topic, as well as the definitive ranking of the six Ninja Turtle movies.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, right now, pause in your head, dear listener. Can you name all six? Because I couldn't. I hit five and forgot one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he said, we're going to rank all five movies. And I'm like, you know, there's like... eight of them, right?
And, but that's, you know. Travis getting deep cuts here. We're going theatrical releases, five movies, or six movies. See, I did it again.
Yeah.
Six movies. Also in the studio today, 2 weeks in a row, we are so excited to have her back. Hi, Sarah.
Thank you for having me back.
Thank you for coming back. Most people would have learned by now.
No, I love you guys. You're awesome.
Yay! So we're excited to have Sarah join us. And of course, we cannot forget... we got the one, the only, producer Dan.
Hey, everybody!
He got to claim B-roll. We got a pretty damn good show.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, usually it's like mediocre at best, but this one, solid. This one's a solid seven.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You're feeling good about this one?
I am. I'm feeling good. It could be the drugs. I'm actually going to give a shout out right at the top here, mm-hmm. to two things. First, our buddy Brian Klein and Manaforge.
Yeah.
When you listen to this episode, dear listener, Brian will be 2 days away from his Kickstarter ending. Mana Forge is the game he's trying to launch. He's really close to his goal as of now on Tuesday. So check it out. Mana Forge, Kickstarter. Show the boy some love. Let's get him up over the goal. He's close. He is so close. So show him some love. Help me get that thing funded. But that's not where the drugs came from.
No.
Actually, I want to also give a shout out to Dr. DeFleur, an Altamont Springs dentist. Over there on 434.
He DBS.
Is a really, really good dentist. My mouth will fund his children going through college because me and Soda's had a long relationship and it just kind of, it's bad in there.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, I got a half a root canal and a bunch of drugs, and so now I'm going to do this one a little buzzed. Let's do this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay, painkillers.
Yay, painkillers. I mean, it makes sense because I got to tell you, some of this team is...
you still only have to tap that.
You don't tell me what to do.
Okay.
First, you heard it here first. Producer Dan, you want to take it?
Well, yeah, since I'm the one who said it last week.
Yeah.
When we announced the demise of the NES Classic Edition, I said, well, you know they're about to bring out the SNES. And I got home, I looked online, and boom, there it was, already rumored to be coming out. It's going to be very similar, it looks like, teeny tiny.
Right, and be the same basic thing.
Yeah,
I actually think that part of the reason they're calling it too is also going to be about their wanting to expand out the online marketplace. I mean, that's weird. That's got to be one of the places Nintendo is looking to go here. I just don't see what else they would be doing.
Well, does this mean we get the Nintendo 64 Classic next?
Hopefully,
I don't know. They need
GameCube Classic.
They should probably just start with the 64.
I know the Virtual Boy Classic. There you go.
I just hope that
the good news is they'll only need to make three of them. There will be no problem creating enough for everybody.
I just hope Earthworm Jim is on this because I love that video game.
Nice. Actually, that's a great point too, because with the Super Nintendo library was
fantastic.
Absolutely,
and massive.
Yeah,
I mean, with the Nintendo original Nintendo had a large library.
Sure,
but the Super NES is.
Oh, I, without question, I would rather have the Super.
Absolutely.
Sure, sure, sure. But I mean, but the sheer number of games, like, if you've got to call the Nintendo list down, it's a challenge. You got to call the Super NES library down?
Right.
No.
Yeah, and the thing with that system is they kept on coming out with excellent games even after they'd already released the new system.
Exactly.
Which has caused some games to kind of fly under the radar until recently, like your Earthbound.
Oh, yeah.
That came out. And at the time it came out, like, everyone's like, eh, this game isn't really interesting because the graphics sort of suck compared to what is available right now. But, it turns out it's actually a really good game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd really love to get a Sega Genesis Classic Edition. I think that would be cool.
Sega would love for you to get a Sega Genesis Classic, too.
Oh, that would be the great.
All right. So we got a Dammit DC / DC update. There's a bunch of things here, and I don't want to spend too much time on them, so I'm just going to kind of run through a list for you.
Let's do it.
First, there is a new DC animated movie out, and you know I'm a huge fan of these things. This animation is where DC shines, as far as I'm concerned. So this new one is a Teen Titans, one of my favorite DC properties, and it's called The Judas Contract. If you watch the original Teen Titans animated series, Tara was one of the a girl. Beast Boy had a crush on her. She had the ability to move the earth and do that kind of stuff. She's back. You finally get Deathstroke in there on these animated movie side.
Nice.
I mean, just a great Robin. They got what's his name? The Robin that's comes from. Oh, I'm blanking. Not Jason Todd, because he's the one that. Not Dick Grayson, but the new one, the really cocky.
Damien?
Damien, there it is.
Okay.
Damien in the role as Robin. Great Beast, but just an all star cast. Fantastic, fantastic storyline. Loved every bit of it. Still not for children. Want to repeat, not for children. No DC anime. If it's not Batman, the animated series. Do not show it to your children.
Batman the Animated Series is for children?
It's more for children than these are. speaking of animated movies, there's a new one that they're working on now, which I'm almost as excited about, Batman and Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. So this is taking back the old school, what's his name, Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy,
as the voice of Batman. He's the one who did it in all of the good animated Batman stuff.
Is he the one on The Killing Joke as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. the one from the original Batman the Animated Series. Fantastic.
Nice.
In this particular version, he and Nightwing have to team up with Harley Quinn to go stop a Poison Ivy and not Swamp Thing. Some really random guy who's got the same motivations as Swamp Thing, but is like this D-list villain that even I've never heard of.
Hmm.
But the two of them are going to take back the Earth and kill the humans. That basic plot line.
Okay.
But they have to team up with Harley Quinn because Harley Quinn's the only one who knows Poison Ivy. And for Harley Quinn, what I thought was really interesting here is they got Melissa Roche, who is most famous as Bernadette on Big Bang Theory.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Her. And her as Harley Quinn. At first, I was hesitant.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
But the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah.
She does some good voices.
She does. Yes, she does. And I'm like, okay. It's a little weird because I really love, what's her name? I don't remember the actress's name, but the one who has been doing Harley Quinn in the original series and doing other stuff. But absolutely looks phenomenal. So we're good for that. And then a Dammit DC, Powerless, the animated series starring Alan Tudyk and Danny Pudi. And Vanessa Hodgins.
It's animated?
And Ron Funches.
No, it's not. Ron Funches, yeah, it's not animated.
Okay.
And now it's gone. So it's been pulled from the lineup for this week and next week. It's been replaced with Superstore.
Superstore's funnier. It's a better show.
I don't watch it. I won't watch it. That's just. It's not. I've got very little TV. I got very little time, but I'm not going to spend it on. Whatever. But Powerless is getting pulled, and they're just, I mean, it's been pulled from the schedule. It's only a matter of time before it gets canceled. Mm. And I'm pissed because the last two episodes in particular, they were getting their feet underneath them, and it was really starting to go the right way. This show, though, was just doomed from the start.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. They were airing the show, and apparently the old show description was still on the website talking about it being like a an insurance company.
It was going to be called Retcon Insurance.
That the original concept was so freaking good.
It was so much better.
This thing seriously was just this is classic freaking DC.
Yeah.
Last minute there's tons of reshoots, they change the plot, they change a bunch of crap and they wheel out something that's only half freaking finished.
Mm-hmm.
And they wasted amazing talent.
Yeah.
Amazing talent on this thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the casting is about the best thing going for it.
It was amazing. And when you let those actors shine, they do phenomenal. Alan Tudyk was great. Ron Funches was great. Danny Pudi was getting there. His character was a little weird,
yeah.
But he was getting there. Even Vanessa Hudgens' character was growing on me. And I don't know who the blonde chick is who was always angry, but I loved her too. I'm sorry. In one other piece here, the true damn at DC is both Powerless and the announcement that the live action Teen Titans movie. Mm-hmm. Did I get to that piece already?
That it was me on the streaming site?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Live action streaming site. DC streaming service, a la Netflix or Hulu.
Which they haven't even announced yet.
No. But this live action Teen Titans thing that's coming to us from Berlanti, who of course is the guy who's done all the CW.
Well, he's attached to it. He's not attached to it in the same way that he's attached to the other properties.
He's Joss Whedoning this bad boy.
That's what he does with the others. He's the showrunner on all the others, and he micromanages them like Joss Whedon did with Buffy.
Right.
It's only a writing credit so far, it says.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this thing, which, for the record, has gotten really good.
Yeah,
but
it has.
The streaming service here, we need to spend a lot more time on it. I just wanted to put it out there so you guys would hear it here first. Yeah. But live action Teen Titans going to a DC streaming service, one has to presume that if Berlanti's name is on this one, there's a chance that they're, I mean, I don't, what are they going to fill the damn thing with if they don't start pulling Berlanti shows and slapping them on their own streaming service?
It's
a terrible idea.
And I'm kind of surprised because they've said that we are going to have Dick Grayson in this as Robin. And so we've got things that attach to Batman specifically, that's something that they've kind of stayed away from so far.
Yeah. Which in the Judas contract, Dick Grayson is in as Nightwing as a kind of mentor to the team with Damian and his Robin, which to me makes a much better dynamic.
Mm, yeah.
And I know we're going kind of deep for those of you who don't follow all of the different Robins. Maybe that's not a thing you're into, but take my word.
But that is a really good relationship between the two of them.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to do more on this. We're going to actually get a full episode on all of the different streaming services because CBS is still trying to pilot their Star Trek on their exclusive stream. Let's talk about Stargate instead.
Yeah.
Stargate. That's just ridiculous.
By the way, when you posted Stargate on our Slack page, for a second, I got really excited that we were going to be talking about Stargate.
I thought it was a typo, too. Is it Stargate? What's going on with
Stargate? I was like, we're talking about this stupid thing.
Can I tell you right now? I'm glad you were disappointed. Because let me tell you, we use Slack, dear listeners, for our pre-show stuff. We put together, we organize everything through a Slack channel. And if you're not familiar with Slack, you should check it out because it's an amazing service.
It's pretty sweet.
They're not paying us.
They're not paying us. This is just, neither is Dr. Delfleur, my amazing dentist in Altamont Springs, but, I'm going to plug him anyway.
Right.
You changed your damn icon on Slack to be that creepy-ass image from the last episode of Doctor Who.
Yep.
Smile, if you haven't seen it with the...
Have you caught up?
Yes.
How good is Bill?
Bill's amazing. That image is creepy, and I want you to change it.
Not
going to
happen.
I am going to continuously find ways to torture you until you change that damn thing.
I'm so glad that it had that effect. That's what I was hoping for.
So freaking creepy. Just so freaking creepy.
They've ruined emojis for us now.
I never liked emojis. I use them as necessary because if you're super sarcastic in text messages, you have to use emojis, otherwise people hate you.
Right.
But Stargate here, it actually refers to Darth Tantrum. Kylo Ren, of course, from The Force Awakens. If you recall, towards the end of The Force Awakens, he ends up on the wrong side of a lightsaber and takes one to the face and does this huge scar that starts like just underneath his right cheek, goes up the cheek, across the bridge of the nose, between his eyes, and up the forehead. And
very Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's bad.
As opposed to getting flat out killed.
Yeah. Or your hand chopped off, which is what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to lose a hand, damn it. That's canon. Anyway, that's not really canon. So eagle-eyed Star Wars fans, as if there were any other types, noticed in the trailer that when we get this close-up for Star Wars Episode 8, the scar starts just above his right eye. I have to do this thing and figure out which eye we're looking at. Just above his right eye, and just kind of like it's much subtler. It only covers one eye. His eye is still perfectly fine, but they moved the scar and drastically reduced how bad it is.
Yeah.
And Star Wars fans have lost their damn minds. I mean, just do not read the comment section. Don't Google hashtag Scargate. Don't just don't. It is some nerd rage, the likes of which I have not seen in weeks.
I mean,
nerd rage is powerful, and we have to follow these things.
I mean, I think in some way this is nice testament to how well Star Wars has been doing, because this is what they have to get really upset about.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
that's true. That's true.
A continuity error between two films filmed a year apart by two different directors.
Right. Well, and you know, it didn't make it better that Rian Johnson, the director of Episode 8, when he was asked about moving to Scar, said, "No, I didn't." And then later, I think was annoyed or something, but basically said something along the lines of, "It looks stupid, so I moved it."
Nice. Yeah.
It does look stupid. It's an awful scar. But to be fair, the new scar, had he been hit with a lightsaber in... he would have lost his eye at that particular spot.
Well, the eye's sunk in a little bit, so if we just got maybe just grazed just a teensy bit.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. This poor bastard, Kylo Ren, needs some help looking more like a badass. So him a cool scar, not that first scar, right. Scar was whatever, but giving him a cool scar is going to maybe help him get a little bit more cred. Here's my headcanon. Mm-hmm. He actually was completely healed, back to tank or whatever, force powers, and then realized that he needed a scar to try to look more badass, so he actually cut himself.
New battle damage. It's a different... it could be a completely different fight.
Sure, or he had somebody do it to him so that he could have a cool scar.
Right.
I'm cool with that.
Either way, that's... Yeah. So Star Wars fans are freaking out. I got to tell you, too, the other thing, as I've been watching the new Star Wars stuff come up, and I've been looking at this lately, I'm starting to warm up to Tantrum.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm starting to like, particularly if you're watching Rebels. Are you watching Rebels, Travis?
No, not recently.
Star Wars Rebels. Dear God, it's amazing. Absolutely worth checking out, folks. Please, mm-hmm. Star Wars Rebels. And one of the things we're hearing rumors about with Episode 8 and what we're starting to see in Rebels is this idea of a balance of the Force. That neither going light side nor dark side is ideal. What you really need is a middle way, the gray Jedi, what mm-hmm. we call this in the old school. Mm-hmm. And looking at the Force and the story from that perspective starts to make Kylo Ren's character make a bit more sense and starts to make him a bit more, I hate to say it, sounds a bit cooler. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like the idea of it. I'm starting to understand a little bit more. I'm still going to call him Darth Tantrum, but I'm warming up to it. So I'm going to go back and watch Episode 7 again because I'm liking it. So, in other amazingly awesome news.
Disney news, too.
Disney news.
We got three Disney in a row here.
We did. Disney. Dude, is Disney the new Elon?
Disney's the new everything, bro.
I like that. Let's see what's going on here.
Well, they buy everything, so of course.
You hear the rumors, actually, speaking of buying, there's rumors going around that Apple's going to buy Disney.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I'm not buying that.
No.
How crazy would that be?
I just don't. I don't see why would Disney sell?
They wouldn't. I don't think Disney would sell to anyone. I mean, their own.
Yeah, they
their own kingdom. I mean, they own everything.
I mean, I guess they could theoretically get like a hostile takeover or something like that. I don't know how you would do that because that involves sums of money that I can't.
They just became the first studio to make, I think it was over $2 billion in 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah, and they weren't exactly struggling prior to that.
Yeah.
Now, I could see Apple and Disney partnering up for something.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. But I don't see them buying. Anyway, point here is, so now we are going to enter the age of live-action versions of all of the original Disney movies.
Yes.
And Aladdin is one of those definitely on the docket. And this is true. There are rumors that Will Smith is in talks to play the genie and the new live-action Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, holy shit, yes.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that.
I can see it.
Dude, I could.
I just...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he has the right energy.
Al has a very personal relationship with this particular movie.
I do.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I identify with Aladdin a whole bunch.
Uh-huh.
And Robin Williams, I still like, we talk about celebrities when they pass, mm-hmm. and we talk about them and show some respect and whatever, but I mean, not even Carrie Fisher hit me the way that Robin Williams. When Robin Williams died, it honestly felt like I lost somebody I personally knew. Mm-hmm. And that is a completely new feeling for me to have towards any Hollywood celebrity at all. Like, respect for them, but they're people just like everybody else. But Robin Williams meant, like, he was formative for me to mm-hmm. growing up. Mm-hmm. And losing him just sucked.
Yeah. And you can't replace him.
You can't.
No.
And that's what makes this so amazing. And that's right. Exactly because you don't try to give me somebody else who's going to pretend
if
to
they
be
had tried to go like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You know, who's the next best quick talking family comedian guy?
Steve Carell, you know, some shit like that. No. No. But to go the other way and mm-hmm. to give me Will Smith.
Yeah.
I don't think there's another actor I would have been okay with. And I wouldn't have been okay with anybody if you'd asked me. Not until somebody, if you told me Will Smith, I would suddenly think, oh. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just really love this idea of just the snarky Will Smith humor.
Yeah. He'll definitely bring a very unique spin to the character. His own, you know, flair, his own energy.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I just want him, and I really like the idea of him making fun of Aladdin at a couple points. Because. Uh-huh. Yeah. That was kind of missing from the Genie. Like, I mean, it's a Disney movie. Blah,
like
blah, blah,
Genie
blah.
Meets Hitch?
Exactly. Nice. Just at some point, Genie needs to look alike. What the hell are you doing? Like that.
You live here.
So that's, yeah.
That's exciting. I mean, I wasn't sure about all the Disney movies going to live action, but I finally did watch Beauty and the Beast. And you know what? It was good. I actually liked it, and it was different from the cartoon. It's followed the same, you know, main topic, but like it had some different spins to it, and I really liked it. So I'm excited about that.
Absolutely, and it should too, and it should. All right, moving on. Captain Marvel officially has a director or directors,
woo-hoo! Directors,
directors, and this one actually Forrest shot this one over to us, and I haven't seen their movies, but Forrest, who is a major cinephile, mm-hmm. Has and is very familiar with their work and was very excited about it. So their directors are Anna Boden and Ryan
Fleck.
Sorry, I couldn't see the last name over there.
Oh, my bad.
Ryan Fleck. So if you haven't heard of them, then you probably don't watch Sundance movies either. There's a lot of their stuff was like they do these deep character pieces, like the kind of movies that I don't want watch but want to have watched.
Yeah.
Right, because you don't like characters.
That's not. I just, if I'm turning off my brain, damn it, I want explosions. Mm-hmm. I'm not a complicated man.
That's one way to say it.
I'm a bit of a plebe, maybe a bit of a peasant. I'll own that. But they do, but I think the piece that I really like here is that there is a woman in the director's chair.
Yeah.
You're going to bring us Captain Marvel. You're going to bring us this incredibly strong, powerful, independent woman. You damn well put a woman in the director's chair. And I think that when you look through the awards that Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, I mean, the movies that they made and the critical acclaim that they've gotten, mm-hmm. you can start to get an idea of what they're doing here. And I think that this may be, you know, if all of the Marvel movies have been genres, mm-hmm. and we've talked about this several times, I think these directors signal Captain Marvel being a true drama.
Okay.
You know,
I can see that
a more of a character drama than the. I'm sure it will still have comedy. I'm not saying that it won't, but I think this will be have a little bit more of a serious tone to it. Be a little bit more of a personal struggle than what we've seen in something like, say, Ant-Man.
Do you think we're going to see Marvel in it?
No,
like the old school origin at all.
No,
they're going to do a whole new origin. You think?
I think they'll mess with it a bit. I don't know. It depends. Really, you know what, though? I don't know, because they'll have already, by the time this drops, we'll have already seen the Guardians meet the Avengers. Mm-hmm. We'll have already gotten the whole outer space thing in there, so I'll take that back. They might.
Okay.
They probably will involve the alien piece, now that I'm really thinking about it. And then, of course, the comics, there's an alien. She gets her powers more or less from an alien.
Right.
All right.
Brushing over a whole bunch of details, but that's that's it. Do you have something for us on this one there, Sarah?
Well, I was just going to say, it has two female writers as well. Nicole Perlman, who did Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. and then Meg, I'm going to butcher her last name, Leofen?
I'm sure that's correct.
Inside Out, which is an adorable Disney Pixar movie.
Oh, I forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, and it talks about feelings, and so I agree. I think this is going to be a very powerful female movie. And Brie Larson is the main character who is in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. She plays Envy Adams, Scott Pilgrim's ex-girlfriend. So I'm excited. She's pretty hot.
What else did we say that she was in?
She was in The League. She played the au pair.
Oh, that's right.
And then she won the Oscar for Room, which was absolutely heart-wrenching, unbelievable, just
and again,
amazing.
I mean, you've got, I think there's a reason they put Brie Larson here instead of somebody like Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica, who was there. Like, this tells me, all of this to me signals that we're going to see much heavier drama here than we've seen in previous pieces. And so I'm just concerned that as long as Marvel doesn't overplay it.
I think she's taking the baton, too. I think this is going to be going into phase four, if that's what we're going to call it. This is going to be the centerpiece of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, she'll be the new Iron Man slash Captain America.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm 100% excited for where this is headed.
New blood.
Yep.
Real quick, little couple more.
So Target doesn't like their stuff, and so they really want some property damage. I don't know, maybe insurance is coming up. I don't know exactly.
Stolen carts.
So in honor of Mario Kart 8, what they have done is they've actually rolled out three different on their actual shopping carts. They've themed the carts to be either Mario, Luigi, or Princess. So the red, green, or pink. So that their carts resemble Mario Kart for Mario Kart 8, which is now out for Switch.
God, if we were in high school.
This is, and here's the thing, too. Even as you walk in the doors, I mean, well, first when you walk up to the doors, the big red balls that set outside Target shops that they put as the Pokemon balls for not too long ago now have these covers on them that make them look like Mario or Luigi's head.
Yeah, that's going to get stolen real quick.
Well, maybe the cover, because those things are solid concrete.
Right.
Like cover, I mean.
What we need, though, are decapitated video game heads outside of stores. But then when you look at the doors, it says go, and there's like a checkered flag and the thing to go. Like, they want you to race to their stores and slam into their shit.
It's like shop till you drop.
It is. It's gonna cause.
It's old school Jackass.
Yeah.
This is. I mean, I'm excited, but this is a terrible idea.
Yeah. And the thing I can't help but think about is the fact that Target actually sells like toys and whatnot, and I'm sure that there's, say, plush turtles or something.
Oh, yeah, they can throw at each other?
Like, yeah.
There's going to be, I mean, the produce section is just going to be completely out of bananas. They're just going to be just everywhere. Last bit before we dive into our main topic. A new statistic just came out. There are more people watching gaming videos and streams. So this is, I mean, what we're talking about is YouTube play videos as well as the Twitch for the streams than are watching HBO, Netflix, ESPN, and Hulu combined.
Wow. That's crazy.
That is insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I actually watched like a televised e-game thing the other day on CW, and it was I think it was 13 teams started off. It was like a first person shooter. It was a really cool game that they had designed for this. That's it's a specifically a competition game, I believe.
Is it Counter-Strike?
No.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, it is
King of the Hill, something King of the Hill.
Oh, okay. What's a game? It doesn't matter.
And it was actually a really good production, like the way that they showed it. And it's concise because, you know, it's on TV for 2 hours, you know. So I'm sure that they were playing for hours and hours and hours and they cut it all together. But it was actually decent to watch. I was surprised.
It is. And, you know, and of course, we're going to take this opportunity to plug our favorite Twitch hero. Mm-hmm. Matt Heimerl, formerly of Cast Revive, is now full-time Twitch.
Yep.
And if you guys are not currently following him on Twitch, MattyJ311, MattyJ311, MattyJ311. Follow him on Twitch. Tell him that for geek's sake sent you. I mean, I've gotten to watch a little bit of his stuff. It's been really, really good. I actually downloaded Twitch. I didn't even have Twitch, but I downloaded it just so I could watch out and support him. And I gotta admit, man, like, I would not find the idea of sitting there watching somebody else play a video game interesting at all.
Mm-hmm.
I hated doing it growing up because we just
waiting your turn.
Right, I'm just like, I just want to fucking play myself. I'm trying to sit here watching this, but these guys are good. They're entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And Matty J, I'm just saying, Matty J 311, check them out. Mm-hmm. Worth your time.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick thing. One of the videos that I enjoyed watching was a game called I Want to Be the Guy, which is purported as like one of the hardest video games ever. So if you were to go try and play this thing yourself, you would die constantly. So it's actually pretty nice to go on YouTube and be able to watch someone who actually has figured out how to not die mm-hmm. immediately.
Which is a great thing.
And yeah. and it's amazing gameplay. So I can totally see that.
So, Matty J311, seriously, tell him we sent you. Let's get into some Ninja Turtles here.
Let's all do right. it.
I am just, I'm thrilled that we get to spend our time doing this. This is fantastic. So, Ninja Turtles, mm-hmm. Real quick, setting their stage here. Originally starts out as a comic book.
Graphic novel, yes.
Graphic novel, excuse me. back in, was it 83?
I don't have the date in front of me, but sure.
It's 1983. The two guys, and it started as that. Eventually, it became, I think, the toy line and then the cartoon series.
Strictly speaking, yeah.
And so we have our 80s cartoon, which is the one that we, though, if you happen to be, let's say, in your 30-somethings, one you originally grew up with. And then from there spawns, of course, I mean, every
Empire stuff.
I was actually talking about this today. I think when you get away from Marvel and DC, the only comic type character or property, I should say, comic type property that hits Ninja Turtle levels, from what I can tell, is probably what, Archie?
Well, you have Transformers.
Transformers, sure, but I think. I mean, the new movies obviously help them get up there.
Well, they've got lots and lots of comics though behind them.
Well, I mean, but if you look at the sheer number of places that Turtles has ended up, you know, mm-hmm. the number of video games, cartoon series, movies, comic books, graphic novels, toys. I mean, you're right. Transformers gets up there. G.I. Joe makes a respectable mm-hmm. showing, but I'm thinking pound for pound, I think Ninja Turtles takes them.
Yeah. Now, actually, I will revise my statement slightly because. Technically, Transformers cheats a little bit in that it was originally a Marvel property.
Ah.
So.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, Ninja Turtles was completely independent, and it's still.
Right.
Who owns them? That was the other piece I was trying to figure out. Do you know that? Who owns.
I mean, the original creators are. Let's see, it's.
Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird.
Yeah.
Right. But do they. I mean, they never sold out to. I mean, they never sold their stuff to Marvel or DC. Do they? Yeah. I mean, Hasbro owns all the toy rights,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or at least did. But I mean, these guys are still basically independent operators here, aren't they? I mean, they've licensed out a whole bunch.
Yeah, they've licensed out. I mean, a lot of their stuff is through Fox, but obviously Fox doesn't exclusively own it because now they're going through Nickelodeon,
right?
So,
right. I mean, dude, these guys sold out in the best possible way. That's not an insult. That is mm-hmm. jealousy. That is 100% jealousy you should be hearing in my voice. Because holy crap, did they sell it the best, most awesome way. So, Travis, take it away. Tell us stuff that we just have never heard.
So actually, in our conversation, I didn't have this listed, but it's just a short thing. Probably people don't realize what we were just talking about. So, you know, the first Ninja Turtles movie that came out, they actually had a really, really hard time making that film because nobody wanted to take a chance on it, which is crazy when you think about how popular the Ninja Turtles were at the time.
Yeah.
They went to, you know, all the top movie makers at the time, mm-hmm. and none of them wanted to touch it because they didn't think it was going to sell. And so they finally ended up having to go with this brand new film company called New Line Cinema to actually get the thing made. Because no one else would touch it.
I did not know that. Huh. So the original Ninja Turtles film was one that came out in 1990.
Right.
That I did not know. And so that one also, of course, got tons of. Well, first of all, it was a technical marvel.
Right.
It was the best live action stuff you could see. I mean, those suits and the animatronics. Mm-hmm. Didn't it work with Jim Henson's?
Oh yeah,
it was Henson. Jim Henson. Yeah.
Jim Henson. There was nobody else in the world who could have done it, but right. Jim Henson Studios. to pull that stuff out. Also got tons of heat for it, mm-hmm. for the weapons and all that stuff
yeah.
that kind of came. So that's, all right, what else you got for me? Tell me something else.
All right, so the original comic, the creators were really inspired actually by Daredevil. And in a way to pay homage to Daredevil, the Turtles' origin story actually coincides with Daredevil's origin story. Mm-hmm. Specifically, you know, in Daredevil, you have the situation where you have the old man that's crossing the street, and Daredevil basically pushes the old man out of the way. As the truck goes by, he gets smacked in the face with these like radioactive chemicals that blind him, and you end up with Daredevil. So the Turtles' origin is you have this old man crossing the street, and there's this semi-truck that's barreling down on him. The old man is pushed out of the way by this guy who gets smacked in the face with this canister of chemicals. Those chemicals then ricochet, smash into this glass bowl that has these four turtles in it, and all of that, including the canister, goes down the drain, causing the turtles to be covered in the ooze that eventually mutates them. So literally the same mutagen that mutates the turtles is what gave Daredevil his powers.
It sounds like the old man needs to use the crosswalk next time.
But then we wouldn't have these five wonderful heroes.
And of course, you know, they took a little bit further, like in Daredevil, you know, they're fighting the hand. So, of course, the turtles are fighting the foot.
Mm-hmm. And, I didn't even put those together. That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness.
And Daredevil was trained by his master Stick, and the turtles are trained by Master Splinter.
Oh, my God.
You didn't know that one?
I didn't put together Stick and Splinter.
That's God, bro.
That's...
Yeah.
All right. All right. Stick and Splinter. That's...
Yeah.
All right. That was... All right. You guys, pretty good. All right. What else you got for us?
All right. So, you know, you have, like, the four different turtles, and you can understand how, like, you know, they're ninjas, and the show is a little bit violent. And so when they go overseas, some censorship might have to happen. And as a result, you know, there was one of the Ninja Turtles that he was just too extreme for British audiences. And so they ended up having to censor Michelangelo.
I heard about this. They don't let him use...
Michelangelo?
Yes, Michelangelo.
Yeah, they don't let him use his nunchucks, right?
Right. So what it is at the time, the British were still real sensitive when it came to ninjas and ninja things.
Well, of course, everybody knows the 80s and the 90s were a harsh time for the ninja attacks that plagued Britain.
Right. And
could forget the Britain ninja attacks?
And so the British government felt that ninjas were not appropriate for children. And so the show had to be retitled The Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Nice.
And the song was adjusted accordingly. And, of course, they had to edit the show itself, you know, remove some of the ninja elements. And, you know, swords, bows, sai, those are fine. They're not, you know, specifically ninja. But nunchucks, I mean, you can't have nunchucks without being ninjas, so
I
those
have
to be removed.
I'm sorry. Swords, okay, not specifically ninja. Sticks, got it.
Size?
Those are pretty ninja.
I know, yeah, seriously, like, unless you're going to try to tell me they're forks, you know, like, maybe they thought they were broken tridents? I don't know what the hell else... I don't understand why two sticks connected with some string is suddenly like,
it's too far. It's too far.
That is too far. That's
yeah. So yeah, they had to edit Michelangelo, and you know, some of the edits they had to do are pretty extreme. Like, you know, in the first episode, they're going through talking about the turtles and their specialties, and they're like, you know, hey, you have Leonardo, who's special. You know, his sword can slash through any foe, and you know, Donatello, his bow can disarm any opponent, and then. You know, in an American one, they talk about Michelangelo as the master of the whirling nunchaku. Well, in the British one, they say, and then there's Michelangelo. And they just kind of have a still of him.
He likes pizza.
And then they move on to Raphael.
He's going
to
be nobody's favorite. Nobody in Britain. He's nobody's favorite Ninja Turtle.
So what That's do they terrible. Have him do? Like, is he just sit around?
I guess according to British audiences, he just punches and kicks people.
Oh. Nice. Okay, then.
That's... In the opening for the British version, and this I really hope this is true. Did they do this the opening song in a British accent? Was it a British?
I mean, it's singing, so it's hard to tell.
I need it to be done and like a thick Cockney accent. I want that level. I want that British accent that's so thick you need like subtitles. Like that's
sovereign.
Exterior. I just want it like real thick. Awesome. What else you got for me?
All right, so for those of us that grew up with the 80s cartoon, you think Ninja Turtles, you think, you know, classic Ninja Turtles villains, you know, you're thinking the Shredder, you're thinking Krang, you're thinking Bebop and Rocksteady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, Bebop and Rocksteady, that's about the only place they show up. If you go back to the original graphic novels, you look at most of the movies.
Yeah.
You look at...
Other than Togon Razar,
which is... Most of the other shows, Bebop and Rocksteady are not a thing.
Huh.
And so it's kind of weird that these two characters that you think of as being iconic, you know, Turtles characters, essentially they're not canonical, at least not in the same way that a lot of your other characters are, like sure. Shredder and Baxter and what
wow.
have you.
Yeah, I guess, you know, even in the current run, Bebop and Rocksteady don't show up until season 3, I think.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
They've got, I mean, there's a ton of other bad guys that show up. I mean, Shredder's got like a mutant army before Bebop and Rocksteady show up.
Right.
That's, huh. I like it. I like it. What else you got for me?
So this is something that I was showing y'all earlier when I came in, and that is the fact that in the comics, the Turtles, well, they actually use their weapons and, you know, kill people with them.
Say
and,
what?
Yeah, it makes sense if, you know, you think about the kids' shows. Well, they're geared for kids. So obviously they're not going to show them running around stabbing people. But, you know, in the original graphic novel, you have Shredder as a villain. Now, he's actually a one-off. He's not the main villain because in the same comic that they introduce him in, they literally kill him off. Leonardo ends up gutting him with his swords in graphic detail. And, of course, in the comics that you have based on that original 80s cartoon, sure, they started off kind of similar to the 80s cartoon, but they eventually divulged, they got a bit deeper, and towards the tail end of it, you know, you have a scene where you have Raphael using a villain's gun against the, you know, himself, basically blowing the villain's brains out.
Dude, Travis brought on the comic to show us. We were looking at it before we started recording. Raphael straight murders a dude.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, he's got the gun to him, and he just blop, just that. I mean, if anybody was going to murder somebody, it would be Raph. But, like, just straight murders a dude. Like, that's just it. Like, with the gun, just bang.
Uh-huh.
That was crazy. Dude, Raphael's hard, man. I mean, what I would assume.
You know what, though? Raphael wears red, fights with size, clearly based on Elektra then. So it makes sense that he'd be the assassin of the group. Boom.
Yeah.
This is all coming together.
Yeah.
Like my mind is blown.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. How you like that?
A lot, actually. I like that a lot. What else you got for me?
All right. So, you know, one of the other classic characters you've got is April O'Neil. Now, mm-hmm. April O'Neil, you think of her as being this reporter that gets kidnapped all the time.
Right.
And that's basically in the original, well, let's say the original TV show, that's basically what she is.
Yellow jumpsuit.
Now, the thing is, that's probably like the weakest version of portrayal of her that exists. In the original graphic novel, she wasn't a reporter. She was actually a computer programmer.
Hmm.
And she was working for Baxter Stockman.
Who was black?
Yes,
can we talk about that for a minute?
He was a black scientist.
One of the things
he is in the movie.
No, he is, absolutely. But in the 80s cartoon series that I grew up with,
he was not.
He was a white dude.
Yeah.
And when I finally find out later that in 1980, I think it was 82, 83 that the comics first dropped, that we had a black scientist, brilliant black scientist, that we made white for the cartoon series. I'm like, bro, that's got to be uncomfortable. Somebody somewhere.
Isn't it Tyler Perry that plays him now?
Yeah,
the movie?
in the movies, yes. Yeah.
Sure, he portrays him.
Right.
Portrays
somebody named Baxter. Yeah,
yeah, he plays a character. But somebody somewhere has got to feel uncomfortable with that right now. Anyway, I'm sure. But you were talking about April.
So April started off as a computer programmer. And in other incarnations, she's been like Baxter's lab assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So again, these are both, you know, well-educated, you know, science types.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the newest version, apparently they decided to give her psionics.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She's now, a psychic who's being trained under Master Splinter.
Yeah.
She uses fans, actually, as her weapon.
Yeah. So the April that you think of is probably the lamest version, actually, compared to all of the other ones that are out there.
It really kind of is.
Well, especially if the version you think of is Megan Fox.
Ugh. Yeah. Weakest, not worst. All right, we got time for a couple more. Give me something else.
All right. We're talking about Raphael. Now, this is real interesting. Because usually when you think of Raphael, you think back towards the movies. I mean, we did grow up watching the cartoons, but you don't necessarily remember them specifically. And the main trait that you typically think of Raphael is, you know, he's the angry one. You know, you think of him as being having like this big chip on his shoulder. Well, it's true that in the intro, it says, you know, he's rude. But if you actually watch that show, it's because he's sarcastic.
Yeah.
In fact, let me make sure I have the right name here. The guy who actually did the voice for it was Rob Paulsen, who you probably more famously know him as the guy that did the voice of Yakko Warner.
Huh.
So, basically, he was extremely sarcastic, like Yakko Warner. Not so much this, like, angry, like, chip on his shoulder, but he's definitely going to be snarky.
And actually, I think you could draw a direct line between how angry Raphael is and how thick his New York accent gets.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get to, like, the movie, the first movie where he's just the most pissed off, I think, he's got, like, this thick Brooklyn accent through the whole thing.
Right.
I think ever since then, he's the only one out of the – everybody lives in New York. All of them live in New York City. Raph's the only one with a New York accent.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, he's the sarcastic one. And actually, for the movies – they specifically made him more angry as a way to help distinguish him from Michelangelo because they felt that from the original cartoon, those two characters were kind of interchangeable. And so they wanted to distinguish him more from the others.
So what they did instead was they made Donatello into Michelangelo and made those two basically indistinguishable.
Right, yeah.
Donatello does nothing with machines. I think he helps Casey work on a car. That's the only thing he does in the original movie.
Yeah, in the movie.
Yeah.
Just annoyed me a little bit. Hashtag Donnie for life. Actually, Mikey for life. I like Michelangelo more. Doesn't matter. We got time for one more. Give me one more ridiculous Ninja Turtle fact.
All right. Well, I've got two more for you, but one of them we've already...
Do them both. Screw me. Do them both.
One of them we already touched on.
Okay.
And this was the fact that Baxter Stockman was a black scientist going into it. Now, what's interesting is the only... Aside from the recent ones, so you had Baxter. He was originally a black scientist. He was basically super into robotics, and he was as much of a villain to the Turtles as the Shredder was just by himself, to the point that you would really equate him more to, like, Brainiac.
Oh.
In fact,
wow.
Later on in the series, he's replaced so much of his body that, like, the only part of him that's still his original self is his head. He's basically a brain in a jar that manipulates machines, robots, etc.
Nice.
It's only the whiny, white scientist version of him that gets turned into a fly.
Hmm.
Okay, so now I'm trying to remember, in the current iteration of Ninja Turtles, which, by the way, I've seen all of more than once. It's awesome. I really like the new series. I'm trying to remember if that Baxter is black or white.
He's black, and they also turn him into a fly.
Right.
So in the new series, what they did,
he's a fly. He's been a fly for so long that I don't remember if he was white or black before they changed it.
Yeah, in this new series, they kind of took all of the stuff from the previous whatever has existed, threw it in a big blender, and stirred it around, and that's kind of what you get.
Yeah. He doesn't quite have the same menacing factor.
Yeah,
that you saw from some of the. Well, yeah, that's right. Now I'm remembering him too. Yeah, he had the. He actually did. He looks actually almost exactly like what I remember seeing from the graphic novels with the sweater,
right,
and all that stuff. Which you see, the sweater or the lab coat was the two things you usually saw him in.
Right.
Awesome. All right, give me one more. What's the last one?
All right. So the last one is, it's this weird twist. So you normally think of Bebop and Rocksteady as being part of the Turtles. You don't really see him outside of them.
Right.
And then you have this other villain called the Triceratons that are basically in everything that Bebop and Rocksteady are not in. They are like a major villain. I have no idea why they didn't include them in the original 80s cartoon. Because basically you imagine you take the Star Trek Klingons and make them dinosaurs. And that is your Triceratons. But I guess they figured kids don't like dinosaurs, so why the heck would we include this character?
It's true. Kids hate dinosaurs. It's a fact.
but yeah, they're basically, they have like triceratop heads, but they're a spacefaring race. They're extremely warlike. They're like a major villain that the Turtles have to deal with in the series.
That's right. That's true. I haven't seen them in... They haven't appeared at all in the current iteration.
Well, actually, they recently, when they go into space, they're finally dealing with the Triceratons in the Nickelodeon one.
Oh, are they really? I don't think I've seen that one. Is that recent?
Fairly.
I only have what's on Hulu. I don't remember them.
Okay, so maybe Hulu hasn't gotten up to it. This is basically the season that they just came out of.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, yeah. So I think we only go through season three.
Which is an amazing season because basically it starts with the Triceratons coming to Earth, and they create a black hole, which destroys the Earth, and the turtles are now stuck in space trying to deal with the aftermath of the fact that, you know, everyone's been killed, and they're trying to figure out how to fix things.
Current Ninja Turtles is dark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how did they get to Gotham? That's my question. Because we've got in the comics now, we've got the Batman Ninja Turtles crossover.
Who knows?
well, you're supposed to.
Well, I haven't seen that particular crossover. Now, I will say that in the comics I have read, there is an entity called the Cowlick.
The Cowlick.
The Cowlick.
Cowlick.
Yes. And okay. It's probably, the Cowlick is more ridiculous than whatever you're imagining, because effectively it is, you imagine a 8-foot-high cow head, just the head, that has like a disc, has like a flying disc where its neck would normally be. And it is a interdimensional alien transporter. So basically he, you know, puts the turtles in his mouth, and then he can travel between dimensions and drop them off wherever. So he could easily travel to Gotham. This is actually how they achieved the crossover between the Turtles and the Archie universe. So, Turtles meet Archie. They got there because of the Cowlick transporting them there.
Gotcha.
That is the official strangest thing. I don't know if you intended that to be one of your strangest. That is officially the strangest Ninja Turtles thing I have.
You buried the lead, bro.
Seriously, man. Seriously. And then, of course, and then we didn't even get into Venus de Milo because we don't want to. So just in case you're curious, I know you're like, what about Venus de Milo? That was on purpose.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about it. Okay. We got one other thing we got to do here. We're now going to do some ranking.
Oh.
Okay.
We're going to rank us our 6 Ninja Turtle movies. So that is going to be the first 3 movies that came out starting in 1990. Then we're going to hit the 2007 animated movie, which is the one that I forgot about when we were going through the list. And then we have the 2 movies that Michael Bay made.
Right.
So ranking these 1 through 6, we're going to start with number 6, start with the worst, and work our way up to the best. So, dear panel, what is the worst Ninja Turtles movie?
Bay number 1.
You know, I had to go. I went back and forth between Bay number 2 and Turtles 3.
You like Turtles, you like Bay 2 over Bay, you like Bay 1 over Bay 2?
I do.
Wow.
Really? I went the other way. Bay 2 wasn't as painful. That's the highest compliment I can pay it. Where I think I'm between Bay 1 and Turtles 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you have any preference down here?
I put Turtles 3 as my last, yeah.
So Turtles 3, Turtles, I'm going either way. Which one did you, have Bay...
My 6-5-4 are Bay 1, Bay 2, Turtles 3. So, I don't know.
And you're... Can we get... We got to agree on this, though. We're going to... I think...
Are you Turtles 3 or...
I think...
Bay...
God, Bay 1 or Turtles 3. Ugh, can I just get punched in the face instead?
If you had to watch one of them right now... Would you rather watch Turtles 3?
Oh. Can I get the root canal
finished? And at least feel a little nostalgia.
Can I please go back and get the root canal finished?
Or would you rather watch Megan Fox and Friends?
Well, okay, wait. Travis, did you say you like Bay 1 or Bay 2 better?
Of the Bay films, I like the first one over the second one.
And I agree with that. So you're out. So that means...
You also like Bay 1 over Bay 2?
I like Bay 1 over Bay 2.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Oh.
Now, to be fair, I'm talking like tiny, tiny degrees
no,
of
no,
one
I get
over
that.
The other.
Sure,
but at
yeah.
least Bay 2 gives you a nostalgia factor.
And they fixed Baxter, kind of.
Sort
no.
of.
They corrected...
Did not,
no.
They did not fix Baxter.
No, but they corrected the sins of the past with changing
they
his race.
They made him black.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, when the black people get together and have a meeting, whenever they do that, they would not have elected Tyler Perry to go.
Hey, host guy, I'm trying to talk us up two being better than one.
So, so the second Bay film, they promised you a lollipop, and then they gave you a handful of sugar.
Yeah, but on the first one, they promised you a lollipop and gave you a shit popsicle.
If I allowed swear words in our titles, shit popsicle would be the name of this episode. It absolutely would. So you get credit for naming the episode, even though I can't name it. I can't name it shit popsicle. Look, I'll go Turtles 3 as the worst.
Okay.
But I can't go.
Well, but Bay 1's got to go at 5 then.
Ooh.
Okay. It's got to go at 5. If we're putting Turtles 3 at 6.
I'm willing to negotiate that.
How flexible are you on this one, Travis?
I had a lot of films that I liked less than the first Bay film. So, you know.
A lot of ones?
Oh.
Yeah.
What did you like? What was under Bay 1?
We're not talking about Gods of Egypt and stuff right now. We're only talking Turtles movies.
Oh, I know.
We're talking Turtles, man.
Well, as we discussed, there was the second Bay film that I had under it.
Uh-huh.
And then actually under that, I had the animated.
The 07 Ooh. Animated?
That was my next to last one.
07,
and that was so much better.
It was better.
Listen, here's the problem with the 07 animated. The 07 animated does the whole Raph and Leo have a fight thing.
Uh-huh.
That is the basically like the Phoenix saga of the X-Men crap, where the immediately like we don't know what to do, so let's just do Dark Phoenix. Like
right.
And by the way, let's do it terribly.
But they didn't do it terribly.
Ugh.
I mean, it's not the best. I'm not ranking it number one,
no.
but come on.
So
you know, as much as I love Ninja Turtles, what this thing is showing me is that these movies are really bad.
They didn't put denim on the turtles, for God's sake.
Oh, God. I hate the Bay films. Those are not.
Look at that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's kind of scary looking.
Which I think I'm okay with you making a scarier looking Ninja Turtle. That I'm okay with.
But again, I will admit that when it comes to my list, I was having to cut it really thin to figure out which one was the worst one and which one was the next worst one.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's not like I'm necessarily disagreeing that
it
shouldn't be
right.
You know, number
the
five.
The difference between four kicks to the nads and three kicks to the nads really starts to lose meaning after a certain point.
You didn't think this was going to be this hard, did you?
All right, I'll put, for the sake of the group,
okay.
I'll go Turtles 3 at number 6, Bay 2 at number 5, Bay 1 at number 4.
I like that.
You guys willing to give me that?
I'll go.
That is rough.
It hurts a little bit, but it's a compromise.
Ugh.
All right, so going from worst to best, Turtles 3, Bay 2, Bay 1, and then I think clearly 07.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you there.
Well, yeah, because we've already knocked Turtles 3 out, so yeah.
Right, so 07 and the 07 animated, and then, the best Ninja Turtles movie is obviously the first one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Ninja Turtles 2 is only good compared to the shitstorm that is underneath it.
Yeah.
I mean, Ninja Rap was the highlight of that movie. And when Vanilla Ice is your highlight, there are problems, my friend. There are problems.
He was so cool back then, though. I mean, he was on his game.
Now I will say in you know defense of the second Bay film, not that I'm changing its ranking, but it is basically the only film that gives us Bebop and Rocksteady out of all of these films that have come out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the only one that gives us Baxter Stockman, even if it's just a guy named Baxter.
Who was a scientist and male and black. I mean, that's three or four things that he has in common, sort of.
They went skiing or something.
I don't quite know.
It's just when that
we
version,
got Krang.
It's just when that version of him is supposed to be like Brainiac, and you give us that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of Krang's bitch.
All right, so recapping one more time. In order from best to worst, the original 90s Ninja Turtles movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second Ninja Turtles movie,
mm-hmm.
and then the 07. By the way, there's a deep font. There's a gap. you've like Ninja Turtles 1 is a pretty damn good movie. It's
like Simpsons Gorge or Springfield Gorge.
Right. You got Ninja Turtles 1 was a pretty good movie. Ninja Turtles 2 falls a little bit, and you kind of smack off and bounce because you're kind of like falling down a mountainside at this point. So you smack off a Ninja Turtles 2, then you free fall for a while, and then you just go bounce, bounce, bounce.
So you're saying that really, you know, the 07 movie is like number 10 on the list because we figure there's got to be
Right.
You know.
There's
eventually
the toys.
Something
there's
that's better.
The weird Japanese Ninja Turtles we didn't get to talk about where they turn into Wolverine. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Y'all are hurting my heart a little bit. I really like the 07 anime. I thought it was good.
So, we still put it at three.
It's okay. You're allowed to like it.
So I will talk about why that one I had so much of a problem with is... you know, first off, you have some of the turtles acting very much out of character, like Leonardo and Raphael.
Yeah,
they really should not be in that much conflict with one another. You have Leonardo; he's supposed to be the leader, and he's probably like the worst leader ever in this particular one.
Ever,
I can agree with that. I mean, he was MIA for quite a while,
and he's supposed to be the leader of the group. He clearly isn't, you know, filling that role at all. Michelangelo and Donatello are about the only two that they actually got right in the film.
Yep.
And then Shredder, they turned him into a good guy, sort of. It didn't make a lot of sense, his backstory that they gave him. And then when you consider, and then they added in all of these other monsters and stuff that, you know, I showed you, I have three books worth of characters that they could have easily pulled from and used. And instead, they come up with some generic dimensional monsters as our enemies.
Yeah. It was still, though, way better than Bay 1.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway. All right. So let's get into B-roll here. So for the B-roll, we have this really crazy story that I had never even heard of before. Coming to Hulu, there's a documentary called Batman and Bill, and I'm gonna let producer Dan here walk us through what we're looking at.
Okay, so we just talked about a couple of creators who really cashed in on the Turtles.
Eastman and Laird, man. It's a damn squad goal right there.
The original Eastman and Laird, of course, were Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, who created Superman in 1938. A year later, DC Comics turned to one of their artists, Bob Kane, and said, go home and create a superhero. We'll see you Monday. And he came in and he said, you know, I had this sketch that I found from years ago that I had in a box. It was this idea I had for a character named Batman. And so now every piece of Batman literature or anything that you ever look at, it's got somewhere on it, it says created by Bob Kane. And it's like two little B's and a big O in the middle is the way that he always writes it. Bob Kane became rich and famous. He made a life out of Batman. Okay. Even though DC owned the rights, they still allowed him to reproduce stuff. So he would do like pop art and all kinds of things. He made a lot of money, the series, everything. But he didn't really create the Batman that you guys all know and love. He sketched out a character that wore a mask, but not a cowl. Like, his mask was more like the Phantom.
Right, Green Lantern.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Well, not Green Lantern. More like the Ninja Turtles, actually, where it's like a wraparound and ties in the back kind of thing.
Okay.
He had blonde hair. He had a red suit with fixed wings based on Michelangelo's sketches.
Michelangelo, the artist, the yeah. Renaissance artist, not yeah, the master of the whirling nunchakos.
So he went to his writer friend that was going to write this book with him, and he was like, hey, this is what I got. What do you think? And he was like, that doesn't really say Batman to me. What if we got rid of that mask and gave him a cowl and like ears that like look like a bat? And he pulled out a dictionary and he showed him a bat and said, make it, you know, look like a bat. And then he said, you know, the wings are going to be cumbersome, so let's get rid of those and do a scalloped cape. And then it'll still kind of have it'll unfurl to look like a bat still. And let's get rid of the red and make it all darker tones. And then they were thinking of a name, and he came up with a name called Bruce Wayne. And then he said, well, what's this guy going to drive around in? How about a Batmobile? So just a list of a few of the contributions that Bill Finger made. The bat suit, Robin, the name Dick Grayson, the name Bruce Wayne, Catwoman, the Joker, the Penguin, the Riddler, Commissioner Gordon, the Batcave, the death of the parents.
Holy shit.
The Batmobile, Gotham City, the name Gotham was his idea, and the nickname Dark Knight were all original Bill Finger ideas. And this was the guy, he wrote with Bob Kane for years. He wrote over 1,500 stories for Batman. He worked on it for 25 years. And Bob, just when he brought it in, he took all of the credit for it. And for years, nobody knew who Bill Finger was. In fact, he actually died alone. He had no obituary, no funeral. He had no gravestone. There's only two images that exist of Bill Finger. And a couple years back, a guy named Mark Nobleman really picked up this baton and started saying, you know, we have to get Bill Finger the credit that he deserves. And people were like, well, why does it matter? And it matters because this is our modern day legends.
Sure.
You know, this is the most profitable thing that DC has ever done.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, Batman came out in Detective Comics, and they ended up renaming the entire company after Detective Comics. That was just an offshoot of their production at the time. He put together a book called Batman and Bill that you can find on Amazon and such. And it's kind of like it's drawn like a comic book, and it explains the story of how all this played out over the years. And through researching that book, he actually found out that Bill does have a surviving heir. He had one son that has passed, and his son was gay, so nobody thought that he had any survivors. But he did have a daughter, and she has a son. And so working together with them, they have petitioned and worked with fans and gotten Bill the credit that he deserves. As of 2015, they added him as co-creator on Gotham and Batman versus Superman. Those were the first
not great starts for the poor bastard.
Yeah, those are the first two times that anything said Bill Finger as a creator. The last thing that he actually got to write for Batman was a two-part episode of the 66 series where he introduced the Clock King. So if you guys remember that those two episodes, that was all him. There was another guy that I wanted to credit also. Arlen Schumer does a great lecture on YouTube you can find called Batman and Bill Finger, and it's an hour and 45 minutes. He went through archives. He found original art and amazing stuff that proves that every step of the way, everything that survives to this day that you think of as Batman came from Bill Finger and not from Bob Kane.
So here's what I'm confused by.
Yeah.
Why the hell doesn't Bill speak up?
Bill was he was really low on the totem pole at DC. He was younger than everybody else. He was considered soft to a lot of people in the professional world. He just didn't stand up for himself. He was kind of a pushover, and he was known to be late with assignments and stuff. And it just he didn't have the pull.
That is so weird.
That he needed to have.
That is such a crazy-ass story.
And because typically, if you draw the character and you come up with the origin story, that's how you get creator credit in comic books. And he didn't draw it. It was his idea.
So Bob, who draws? Does Bob Kane draw?
Bob Kane was the artist. Bill was the writer.
Okay.
Wow.
So Bob Kane still does contribute to Batman.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he drew it for years and years and years.
They're more like co-creators.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill is definitely the co-creator, but everything that you know of came from Bill.
Right.
So you know, the visual image does come from Bob. It's just the idea of that, you know,
of what to draw
for that image is Bill.
Wow.
Yeah. And I came across this story about 4 years ago, listening to Fat Man on Batman. Mark Nobleman was a guest on the show, and he was trying to get Google to do a Google Doodle for Bill's 100th birthday. And I'm not sure if that actually went through or not. I don't think it did.
What's been DC's response to all of this?
Well, for years, they were tied up in legal battles with Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster because they had given them credit, but they were not exactly handsomely rewarded for creating Superman of all things. And so for years, they've been in legal battles trying to get health care and things like that. And they were more focused on that than anything else. But I guess eventually now, like I said, as of 2015, they've started giving credit to Bill Finger. Finally. Wow. So it was a really big travesty that, I mean, for 70 years, this guy didn't get the credit that he deserved, and died in anonymity because of it. So it's going to be a really interesting special on Hulu, this Batman and Bill. I really, really want everybody to check it out. If you like comic books, if you like Batman, you've got to watch this. It is going to be great.
And so that's going to be Saturday, May 6th. It premieres on Hulu, Batman and Bill, again, coming out Saturday, May 6th, available on Hulu, on your Hulu app or the whatever Hulu login you steal for your own Hulu purposes.
Now, I read that Bill Finger also, did he co-create the Green Lantern as well?
Yes, he was the co-creator on that, and he was credited on that.
That's cool.
Well, that's good.
The guy's busy.
He also worked on Superman.
So he still dies broke?
Yeah.
I mean, Green Lantern's not Batman, but...
Sure.
If anybody's seen Smallville, he created Lana Lang.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
So, yeah, he should have... If he had been alive to that day, I mean, he should have received credit for all of that. And
I'm still kind of stuck on the fact that the first places he gets credits are Gotham and BVS. Like, I mean, Gotham, all right, it's got some highlights to it, but BVS, man, that's not you're not earning your fans through that particular.
And it was unfortunate how they rolled that out too, because apparently they announced it right before Gotham season 2 came out that they were going to give him the credit. And so when Gotham season 2 came out, it wasn't on the first episode because they announced it like a week before. But like, why would you announce it and not just slide it into the credits? How difficult is that?
How hard is it to update the damn thing?
Because on that first episode, it said based on characters owned by DC. It didn't even say Bob Kane on that one.
They didn't give anybody credit. Like, screw you, we're taking all the credit.
So really, I really count Batman versus Superman as his first real credit.
Wow.
Yeah. If you go back and you look at old copies from, you know, the 50s, 60s, and 40s, you're going to see Bill Finger listed as a writer, but you'll never see him listed as a creator.
Wow.
So again, May 6th, Batmanville, Hulu. Check it out and get yourself educated, son. All right, let's go ahead and move on. I think that's going to take care of it for us for B-roll. So I think we're ready for some shameless plugs. Dan, you want to start us off?
Well, I think my shameless plug was Batman and Bill.
That's fair.
But as always, you can find me at epiceventsorlando.com for all your DJ needs.
And if you like the little heavily copyrighted sample we did this morning, or sorry, for our intro today, that also came. That was what Dan literally sat down and put that together in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive, though. Thanks. Good work over there.
Appreciate it.
Good doing this thing. What about you, Miss Sarah? Anything to shamelessly plug?
I'm actually going to plug the original 1990s Ninja Turtle movies because I hadn't seen it in a while, and I went back and watched it. And you know what? It holds up. It was
it
a great
really
movie.
It does.
I loved it. I enjoyed it. I laughed. It was great. So
yeah,
bunch of member berries in there. I really enjoyed it.
I say the April O'Neil and Casey Jones that came out of that one.
Yeah, it was great.
I think some of the best April O'Neil and Casey Jones of any series of any incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
They were phenomenal.
Yeah, I have to say it's kind of unfortunate that the Turtles seem to be falling into the same trap that Fantastic Four is, where the very first one is the best one that we've gotten so far.
Yeah, out of literally all of them.
Yeah.
You think it would be that hard to do a new, but until Michael Bay lets go of it, there's just no chance at that.
Well, he did make an announcement that he will not be making any more Ninja Turtle movies.
Oh, yay.
Oh.
So.
Oh, just reboot that damn thing and try again.
Give it to JJ.
Oh, God.
Just let him make the first one, and then he can hand it off.
As long as he hands it off, because I'll tell you this right now, your origin story. If this one, JJ, is not about your origin story. We're going to actually get, because at one point, there was actually, during the first Bay movie, before it came out, there was one point where they were no longer teenagers, they were no longer mutants.
They were going to be aliens.
They would be aliens. So they were no longer teenagers, mutants, or ninjas.
Yeah.
They were going to no, they were going to be turtles, they were going to be aliens. It was... I guess JJ can't do worse than that, right?
Right.
There's no bar to get me.
Okay, let's never put JJ and Michael Bay in the same conversation as being on the same level.
No.
Come on.
No, that's true. That's true. Anything else for you, Sarah? Travis, what you got for shameless plugs?
So the only thing I can think of is an app game that I ran across while doing research for this episode. It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Legends.
I'm playing that.
And it's basically based on the current version of the Turtles. Now, they did do some crossover stuff, so you do get some of, like, the original 80s Turtles show up in the game, as well as the ones from the graphic novel. It's not bad. Like I said, it's based on the current one, which is basically a blender of everything that's come before. So it's sort of hit or miss on some of the content.
I'm actually going to plug for you Turtles Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, you haven't seen it yet. Turtles Forever is an animated movie that went straight to, I mean, it was on television back when the...
It was for the four kids version of the Turtles, which, right. In my opinion, if you're going to watch any of the animated Turtles, watch the four kids one. It has, in my opinion, the best Casey Jones, actually, of all of the series. Mm-hmm. And it draws heavily from the original graphic novel in terms of its story, plot elements, character design. So you don't get a lot of the craziness or silliness like you do from the original series. And you don't get this mixed bag like you do with the Nickelodeon. It's a lot more serious cartoon as far as these go. You know, I would put it on the same level as like your Batman animated series or Teen Titans as far as the level of seriousness that the cartoon is.
So what he's talking about there, the it's hard to explain. This is the one that came out, what, oh, I think 2012, I think is what I'm looking at. I'm trying to find the date here. Yeah, so that it was a 2012, because you had the 80s version, which is the one that we're...
Right, yeah.
The one we grew up with.
Yeah, the 80s that you grew up with. Then you had the 90s, where you have... If you think of any Turtles that sucked... It basically came out in the 90s.
That's where Venus and Milo comes from, where Ninja Turtles meet the Power Rangers. It just gets real bad real quick.
Oh, yeah. And so then they kind of course corrected in the 2000s, where you have this one.
Right. So this, yeah, I guess about early 2000s where this one comes out. So it is still pure animated as opposed to the current version, which is, I guess, kind of...
CG graphics.
Like CG graphics. So if you can, it looks really good. Right. It's the one where the turtles have the most muscle definition.
Yeah.
Like, they're awkwardly muscular in this particular... I still like it, too, and I really, really enjoyed that series.
It's very good.
But Turtles Forever takes place with that Ninja Turtles group, and ends up doing this really cool thing where those Ninja Turtles end up interacting with the 80s Ninja Turtles.
Right.
And eventually drop in to, like, a bunch of other really cool stuff. It's a big Ninja Turtles cross-pollination piece. And it was a lot of fun for just pure nostalgia. Don't think about the plot. Don't try to follow anything that's going on. Just sit back and enjoy just complete fan service, because that's all it is. And it's wonderful. So I'll plug that. I'm also going to plug... I'm actually messing around currently with some Blizzard stuff. I've been playing Overwatch and loving it. And I just downloaded Heroes of the Storm, which is another Blizzard property, free to play. It's a MOBA. So if you're into the... Or you've been really vaguely familiar with the a League of Legends... Or the Dota, Defense of the Ancients, that kind of style stuff. I got to tell you, Heroes of the Storm was actually pretty good. I also got back into StarCraft II, which I had not picked up in a long time. StarCraft II, I'm really actually enjoying that a lot. And then I'm just going to plug MattyJ311. Go check him out. Tell him we said hi. And I think that's it. Dan, why don't you tell me to tell them where to find us? But you're not.
Hey,
going
where can
to.
They find us?
Oh, you are going to do that. Check us out on Facebook for Geek's Sake, and make sure you check us out also on Twitter for the number 4 Geek's Sake with 2 S's. And you're going to email us soon. I swear, we're going to get our website. We're going to get a website back up here pretty soon, so we can start getting that stuff back up and running. I just feel like we're wasting Dan's incredible show notes.
Well, thank you, sir.
I know we put them in there where we can, but they need a home. So I think that's going to do it for us. So again, we want to thank everybody so much for listening. If you haven't, please make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. And until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go, 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 go. Machine, gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is here with a new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle bass. Iceman, you know
know I'm not playing. Devastate the show what the turtles are saying.
Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, 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 go. Go, 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 go.
Lyrics, fill in the gap. Drop that bass and get the ninja rap. Just feel it. If you know what I mean, give it up. For the heroes in green, just flowing. Smooth with the power, kicking it up hour after hour. Cause in this life, there's only one winner. You better aim straight, you can hit the center. In it to win it with a team of four Ninja Turtles that you got at the door. It's
Ninja, Ninja Rap. Ninja, Ninja Rap. Ninja, Ninja Rap. Go, 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 go. Go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go. Go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go.
Because one day you might not slide, so choose your weapon, don't slip. Vanilla's in control with the flex of a mic grip. Rocking the crowd the way it should be rocked. With the Miami drop that you like a lot. You know it's hidden like a ninja turtle. When the bass kicks in, you better check the level. The power of a ninja is strong. Fighting all quick until they're all cold gone.
Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, 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 go. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. Go, 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 go.
Out with the gladiator.
They sent me a script and everything, tell me what was going on in the movie and what was going to be happening. You know, they told me all about this whole scene. It's exactly like they, you know, they had it wrote down and everything, and told me to write and make it ice. So I did. I hyped it up, put the funky beats behind it, and made it ice. And they told me to keep it clean, you know, for the kids and everything, which is me anyway. So ice, ice, baby's in full effect. Yep, yep. Turtles 2, watch it.